Roque On Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Congressman Peter Roskam is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Guys, good to be with you.
You have written a letter to Senators Durbin and Duckworth. They're the senators for the state of Illinois. And addressing a letter to Republican members of the Illinois congressional delegation that they had sent, right? There's
right.
There's a paper trail here, Congressman. Is that what I'm to
understand? Sure is.
All right, and basically what the senators are saying is, you know, why would you be supporting this tax reform? And you're one of the architects of the tax reform bill that came out of the House. Why would you be supporting it? It's bad for middle class families. It's bad for lower middle class families. And you know, all the criticisms that Democrats have had about this, the greatest concern here is that in a state like Illinois, that there is, because of state and local taxes, that people's taxes are going to go up because they can't write off the 5% state income tax. So what is there going to be an adjustment to this? Now, let's assume, because Dick Durbin was on the morning show this morning on WGN, on Steve Cochran's show, and basically said, yeah, that everybody's getting a little piece of pork in this in the Senate side, so it's going to pass the Senate. That's not going to be a problem. It's going back to the House, whether it passes tomorrow or on Friday in the Senate. It's going to go back now to this conference. What about we in Illinois here? How are we going to benefit from this?
We in Illinois are going to be winners. Let me address this issue of the letters quickly, and then I'll get right to your point.
Okay.
So, the senators, God bless them, they write to the House members after the bill has passed the House. Hey, they're in the Senate. Work in the Senate. Work on a bipartisan basis. Offer amendments. Do everything that they want to improve the bill. Now, as it relates to the merits of the bill, this is good for Illinois. The Tax Foundation has said that an average Illinois family is going to get $2,300 in tax relief. And if all we do is isolate out and say, well, just this deduction goes away, misses the whole point. So in other words, all of these rates are coming down. The brackets are getting bigger. We're increasing a child tax credit. We're taking away, eliminating once and for all, the alternative minimum tax, which hits my district hard. And you go all in on this, the 6th District of Illinois, a median family, a family of four, is going to walk away $5,000 better. So here's the irony, too. Does it get right to the point? To be told by folks that have been complicit with jamming a tax hike down the throats of the middle class earlier this year, but this massive tax increase that the Democrats put through with some Republican help, but largely driven by Democrats, and now to be hand-wringing and sort of crocodile tears about the middle class, it's just a bit much. So we wrote back and said, look, work on the bill in the Senate. Don't just criticize it, but, go in and make your changes, make your amendments, and we will continue to work together to improve it. So it was one of those letters that just had to be responded to, because not to be responsive would have just been obtuse.
Okay. Congressman, I know you're pushing back against the criticisms, trying to inform people what's in the bill, because you believe that if people knew it was in it, they would really like this. But one of the strongest criticisms has been, and I'd love to hear your take on this, is that the tax cuts for the middle class largely have this phase out, whereas some of the mega rich tax cuts are permanent. And explain that.
The corporate tax cuts are permanent.
Yeah, so there's elements within both the individual side and the business side that phase out. And the reason that these things phase out is because of these complicated, ridiculous budget rules. And we've got to live with them. So here's the larger point. There's elements of the business side of things that phase out after 5 years. So, for example, it's called full expensing. In other words, the ability of a company to write something off right away, completely the first year, rather than dealing with these depreciation schedules. That phases out after 5 years. In the House plan, some of our individual rates phase out after 5 years. Here's the larger point, though. What I'm proposing is I'm saying I don't think a future Congress is going to take away those tax cuts. I think a future Congress is going to move forward to push forward on those tax cuts. And we're assuming that the American people were going to say, hey, don't raise my taxes and don't let these taxes go up. keep these low rates in place, and a future Congress is going to have to deal with it. So it's a bunch of budget hijinks. It's not simply on the individual side. It's on the business side as well.
I don't know if you've been watching the news, Congressman, but things change very quickly around here. We have no idea what it's going to look like in 5 years. But if we want to look at what we – let's just look at what we have in front of us, right? I mean, the phase-out really comes from an issue a couple of weeks ago or last week when we were talking about this with you. It comes from the issue that Republicans have been campaigning on arguing about in a philosophical way, which is debt and deficit, right? Is how much more money are we spending than we are taking in? And, you know, how detrimental is that to us to run the levels of debt and create this deficit? And it's the kind of thing that has cost a lot of other countries around the world all kinds of angst, including in an economic downturn. You saw what happened in Greece and in Portugal and Ireland and places like that, right? Mm-hmm. So this is that sort of upside down economic reality is something that Republicans have been, I think rightfully so, including yourself, very, very, very on top of in terms of communicating the alarming nature of that to the American public. But the problem is that this is not a deficit neutral or debt neutral situation that we have here with this bill. It's going to we're talking about at least over the next, you know, for 5-7 years, the possibility that it adds another trillion and a half to the debt, right? And so the question is this: do we, as we look at that, and you acknowledge that the president says, hey, don't worry about it, we're going to have the growth. The triggers that are going to kick in here are the ones that say, hey, well, in case we don't have the growth, right, we have to repeal these because we're going to have to pay the piper on this. How comfortable are you with that?
Yeah. So let me jump back to the tax question because there's an important point to make. To not take the tax cuts for the next 5 years is to leave the tax rates high currently. And that's ridiculous. So even if you don't acknowledge the changes in the tax code, as I'm communicating to you on the business side, you to walk away from this deal would be to walk away from 5 years of tax relief at the very least, and I think it's going to last longer. Okay, your point on debt is a significant one, and it's a fair criticism.
How are Republicans? Let me just rephrase it for you then. How are Republicans going to be able to move forward? And when, let's just say, and there's a possibility of this, that Democrats take control of the House or the Senate or the White House in the next decade. And how are Republicans going to be able to stand up and with a straight face be able to argue about debt and deficit?
So what you're doing in this case is you're borrowing money. You're using debt in the same way, Ro, that you use debt in your own life. You go and you borrow money to buy a house. You go out and you take out a loan to build a business. In this case, what we're saying is, let's take out a loan, acknowledge that, and let's get something for it. The new thing that we get for it is a tax code that's built for today, not a tax code that's 30 years old that existed before the commercial, you know, before the internet developed from a commercial point of view. So you're getting something for it. Now, a quick word about how that is defined as it's scored. How much debt are you taking on? There's two ways to evaluate the scoring. So it's $1.5 trillion. If you say there's no change in economic activity, a lot of economists, though, are saying, no, you're going to get real growth out of this. And you're looking at between 3% and 4% growth. The amount of that change is really significant for the state of Illinois. So go back to the Tax Foundation. They said, if we do this, Illinois' jobs are going to grow by 37,000 new jobs over the decade. And now think about how different this is than the way, according to the Seattle Times, the city of Chicago structured a deal pursuing Amazon. And according to the Seattle paper, they said that the Chicago deal in particular makes a pitch to Amazon that says, hey, Amazon, you come in and you bring all your employees here. We'll tax the employees and we'll give the money to you. And what we're saying with this tax plan is, let's not have that kind of crony capitalism and a bunch of nonsense. Instead, let's make this much simpler. 95% of Americans would be able to fill their tax return out on something as simple as a postcard. And I think that is really worth pursuing.
Again, I don't like the idea of the postcard. Anybody looking at
you need an envelope. You need privacy.
Okay, fine. But whatever. I just want to. People, stop saying that postcard thing. It freaks me out. All right. Let me ask you just about the mechanics of this. All right. Let's assume this comes out of the Senate this week. What is it now, scheduling wise? What's that look like for us? And does this get done in time for changes in the 2018 year? So will people start to see changes in their paycheck next year?
Yeah. So it does, and it will. So here's what's likely to happen. The Senate's likely to deal with this week. They'll probably pass it out of the Senate at the end of this week. Mm-hmm. There's significant differences between the House and the Senate bills, but it's not like it's Mars and Venus. So you can negotiate these changes, and you'll see a conference committee that will negotiate compromises, and then they will both go back to the House and go back to the Senate to be approved by those two bodies. Then it goes to the president, who will sign this most certainly into law. And I predict this happens before Christmas.
Before Christmas. Okay, when does the Christmas break start for you guys?
The Christmas break will start when this finishes.
I'm really? Do you think the speaker will hold everybody in until it's done?
Yeah, for sure. There's no way. There's no way.
And you say it gets done, Congressman, by the end of the year.
Yeah, I feel I feel confident about that. And it feels very different to me than the health care debate. And part of that is, in the health care debate, there were people that were defending the status quo and people that don't like the status quo. This is a different debate. Nobody likes the Internal Revenue Code. I mean, it's got no defenders.
Of course, but we got to pay for the party. I mean, the other reality here, I was just watching a movie from the 1960s over the weekend, you know, as I like to
do.
You
like to do that.
Called The Best Man, and it's about a presidential race. And one politician saying he wants to cut taxes, but he wants more military and more, very similar to the kind of rhetoric that you hear today. And this is a movie that was made in 1964, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, here you are 53 years later, and the argument is, well, we want to pay more for the military, we want to cut taxes. Well, at some point, you got to be able to, the reality here is, if you're going to spend the money, you got to come up with the money some way. And so everybody does hate the IRS and hates paying taxes, but you can't have it both ways.
I hear you, but here's the thing, Ro. You're the biggest defender of the military, of most folks in the media, and you get this. The name of the game, if you want to be a strong diplomatic power, you've got to be a military power. And if you're going to be a military power, you've got to be a strong economic power. Our economy is the thing that drives this whole thing. And we've got an underperforming economy for the past several years, and we don't have to live like this. We can have an economy that is robust and dynamic and growing, where kids coming out don't have to hodgepodge around for a couple of jobs and live in their parents' basements for 36 months. Like, enough of that stuff. Let's have it so that people are coming out and jobs are expanding. I'll give you one quick anecdote. I was out with a company in my district in the western suburbs, and it's a family business that I know well. And they said, Peter, we're going to spend $30 million on our manufacturing facility next year. If this bill passes, we're not going to spend $30 million on our facility. We're going to spend $50 million. And that's one business in one industrial park out in the suburbs. You get the ripple effect of that. That's significant. And that's what this is all about.
All right, Congressman Peter Roskam, thank you very much.
Thanks,
sir.
Congressman.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Right now, Violetta's got the WGN Turf Trouble Spots.